Welcome, friends, to a gathering of insight and enlightenment. On this March 10th, 2024, we are honored to welcome Reverend Candace Henry, who will lead us in exploring the power of wisdom. Today, we delve into the depths of understanding and discernment, uncovering how wisdom guides us through life's complexities and illuminates our path toward spiritual growth. Join us as we seek to harness this profound power, enriching our lives and the world around us with the light of wisdom.
Lord's Prayer, or listen to it as it is recited. And then briefly after that, I will read the Aramaic translation of the Lord's Prayer. And in that, allow yourself to ask the question, where am I in this? What is mine? And as we take a moment to center ourselves and release ourselves of all that does not serve us in this moment, the things that we can put away for this opportunity to be together in our oneness in Christ, we ask our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Now let us just breathe into that for a moment, and then allow yourself to hear these words as spoken by Jesus, translated. Beloved, nurturing one, from whose breath enters being in all radiant forms. Focus your light within us, helping us create space inside and wholeness. Desire with and through us the rule of universal fruitfulness on the earth. Let your heart's fervent desire unite heaven and earth through our harmony. Grant what we need each day in bread and insight. Help us fulfill what lies within us. Untangle the knots within so that we may mend our heart's ties to one another. Don't let surface things delude us, but free us from what holds us back from our true purpose, from which you is born the song that beautifies the entire cosmos. From age to age, it renews. Amen. Truly these powers to this statement, may they be the ground for which all actions flow. And so it is. Amen. Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to be here to speak this morning. I want to thank BJ and Jen and Mitzi for holding the light. And I'll get into that story. But today's lesson is about the power of wisdom. So the power of wisdom is different than intellectual knowledge. The power of wisdom is one of the 12 powers that Charles Fillmore shared with us, and March is the month of wisdom. So I had this whole message written, and I'm going to have to defer to my notes just so that I stay on track, but there's so much. I have my classmate here, Byers, who I went to high school with. And I was so happy to see Byers because she was one of my favorite friends in high school. And when I saw her, I knew exactly who she was. And I just want to say thank you for coming and saying hello to me, Byers, because you knew my journey when I was in high school. And it is wisdom that brings us to where we are today. So I'll start here. Jen mentioned my high heel shoes. And I've got to laugh about that because my high heel shoes, I had to go and buy them yesterday. Because my other high heel shoes, I left at Unity of Dallas. And I didn't plan it in my head that I would be here and I would need these shoes. So when we talk about wisdom is different than intellectual knowledge. Like I said earlier, you can read books, you can watch documentaries, you can get all of this information in your head about what is knowledge, and then you can apply it. And then there's worldly wisdom. Like, I better not run that stop sign because I could get hit by a car. Or maybe I should let the pedestrian cross the street because I may get a ticket. Or I should study because good grades are important. That's worldly wisdom. Spiritual wisdom is a totally different thing. So I went to get a pair of shoes, right? And in the process of getting a pair of shoes, I bought a shirt. So then, not only did I buy a bought a pair of pants, and then if you look at me right now, I'm going to stand up here on stage.
I'm in a blue skirt. I had no idea. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I had no idea that my flight would be diverted and that I would spend the night in Charlotte last night. So had I only bought the shoes, I wouldn't have the shirt, and then I'd be standing up here in a uniform for American Airlines. I had no idea. So where is spiritual wisdom in that? It came from here. It came from my heart. When we listen to what God's telling us, then and we follow it, then we are on the path of divine order. Now, I could have stood here in my uniform, and I wouldn't feel as comfortable as I do today. I feel a little less comfortable because I'm in the skirt. But the point of the skirt is, had I not listened to my inspired message from God, then I wouldn't have the tools that I needed to present to you in this way today. I love the Bible. There's so many amazing stories in the Bible. But if we can't apply them into our everyday life, then they're just really great stories. So in the story of the Bible, when the leper goes to Jesus and he says, "I choose for you to heal me." And then later you hear it in the new in Matthew where Jesus says, "Do you choose for me to heal you?" Then that is the power of choice. The choice of faith. The choice to be centered in faith. That is giving your consent. That is saying that I am here as a vessel and I give my consent for you to work through me. So for the leper, what we call the Christ nature, the spiritual nature of God that lives within each and every one of us, connect with the spiritual nature of God that lives in those that we communicate with. So when Jesus said, "I choose to heal you," and the leper says, "I choose for you to heal me," those two spirits connect in unison. That is the oneness that we say, "I and the Father are one." But in prayer, when we're communicating with other human beings that are operating as their spiritual nature, miracles happen. We all have the capacity
to be in that place, to change the things that could hold us back, as stated in that prayer. So when it says that your faith will move mountains, Jen can testify. And Mitzi, because they were in a group too. And I sent them a text about 7:30 last night, which was 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. And I said, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I plan to be there tomorrow. Don't place any doubt on my arrival. Because in my mind, based on my practice of faith, there would have been a possibility that it may not have happened. So I'm going to give you another example in the Bible for that. When Jesus comes out of the tomb and Martha's so excited to see him, and he says, no, wait, don't touch me. Right? Metaphysically, that would represent that when you're in the process of creating a divine idea, and it hasn't come into its full manifestation, if you share that with someone who doesn't hold the power of faith, then it's dispelled. And that's why when I text you and Mitzi, I said very firmly, hold that I will be there tomorrow. Don't place doubt on it. Now, that was pretty kind of courageous for me, because I gave you a command in a way that I didn't ask you to do it. I didn't say, please pray for me. I said, hold in prayer that I will be there without any doubt. Well, when we got to the gate, they were missing a flight attendant. They didn't have a pilot. Right? What did I do? I didn't even allow it to be a part of my consciousness. And it wasn't that I was so confident that they would come, but I didn't allow their process interfere with my process. And that's the important aspect of wisdom. When we can recognize that wisdom is part of our inheritance, and we allow that to just be part of who and what we are. For those that are new to Unity, we see ourselves as spiritual beings having a human experience. We see ourselves as it says in Genesis, that we are made in the likeness of God. Now, if you visualize God being this man sitting up in the heavens, and you think that that looks like you, then that is a projection of what you believe. But if you believe that God is omnipresent, in the birds, it's in the grass blades, it's in the raindrops, it's in the sunshine, it's in the ocean, it's in the mountains, it's in everybody. If you can recognize that aspect of God that is in each and every one of us, and then salute that part of ourselves in each other, then we are divinely connected. And through that energy, we can create anything. Jesus said that heaven is at hand. Many people believe that heaven is in this place that you go when you die. But Jesus said that when you are at one with God, that you and God are in that interconnected being. If you and I are in connection in our oneness with God, then wouldn't that be heaven? Isn't where God is, heaven is? And if God is in my aunt, and if God is in my uncle, and in my sister, and my brother, and my neighbor, and in myself, then where is God not? It's challenging when we have obstacles that come in our lives and we don't know exactly where to go. But if we can find a space, just one small space within, and identify that as good and focus on that good, we can change the whole aspect of who and how we think. Someone said that the mind is like a computer. You know how in your telephone or on your computer you have to do an update and an upgrade because there's new information? Well, for us as human beings, we have to do an upgrade and an update because what we knew in the past could be very different for what's going on in the future. We talked about the diversity aspect of this, and I'll share this as an example of a bias. Family group in the kitchen, they're cooking for a big meal. And if it's anything like it was in my family, my grandmother was sitting at the table, and that was my first experience of seeing what a CEO really looks like. Because they kind of tell you everything that's going on. You're washing the dishes, you're cutting up this, you're boiling that, you're putting this in the freezer, right? Well, in this story, the family's together, and the grandmother, she is sitting at the table. And then the mom goes to take the roast, and she cuts one end, and then she cuts the other end, and she puts it in the pan. And then the grandmother goes, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I'm cutting the ends because that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to cut the ends of the roast." She goes, "No, you're not." She said, "But Mom, that's what you've been doing all the time. You cut the ends of the roast. I watched you." And the mom said, "Well, I cut the ends of the roast because the pan was too small." So this daughter was doing what she thought was right to do because she had seen it all her life. But in reality, it was because the pan was not big enough for the roast. So that is what we call an unconscious bias, where you're acting on information that you received from the past, but it doesn't apply to the present because things have changed. So as we move on in our spiritual journey, we change because we evolve in our spiritual nature because we have more opportunities to question, to exchange in conversation, to not test. I don't like to say test, but it was a real test of faith for me to get here by 10:07 this morning. It was a very big test, but it started long before yesterday. I didn't know it, but it started long before yesterday. And to share briefly, because I know you really want to know, I sent my car, well, it's not my car, it's my daughter's car. I sent my daughter's car to California. So I said, "Oh, I'll just Uber everywhere. Easy, I can do it. And if I don't Uber, I'll just catch the dark car." Well, my God inside of me said, "Rent a car on Thursday." Had I not rented a car on Thursday, all the rental cars were gone last night, and I couldn't even get a rental car last night because I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. I would never have imagined that. So I have to say it again, and I hope that you will consider that the mountain is not a mountain that is just figure of speech. The mountain is our health. The mountain is our unresolved relationships. The mountain is the growing of a church. The mountain is having the GPA to go to school. The mountain is having a family. The mountain is a partnership, companionship. And if you see the mountain as something that you can say, I consent for this to be removed from my life. I consent for this to be healed. I consent for this to be resolved. I consent for prosperity and abundance. Then the divine source of all being will provide everything that you need for them. And it will attract everybody that you need to feel that need, because they will be triggered by that spiritual nature in them to start coming your way. Now that is what divine wisdom is. Divine wisdom is faith to know that God meets the need before we even ask. The divine wisdom is knowing that God is and that we are. As one, Christ. And I have to say that when I was a young girl, I didn't know that in those words, but I knew that it had to be better than I could imagine. And then it was. So I invite you to consider that whatever you have in your imagination, that God supports everything that you can imagine, because you would not have that desire if you could not make it possible. Amen. And with that, I say bless. Blessings. Namaste.
Thank you, friends, for joining us in this journey through the power of wisdom with Reverend Candace Henry. As we conclude our time together on this March 10th, 2024, may the wisdom shared today resonate within you, offering guidance, clarity, and a deeper connection to the divine. For more spiritual resources and to stay connected with our community, please visit our website. We encourage you to engage with us further by visiting our Facebook page and subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. And if you're in the area, we warmly invite you to join us for more inspiring events and fellowship. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved. May the power of wisdom light your way, guiding you to live a life of purpose, understanding, and profound peace.